chapter 6, verse number 16. And bear with me this morning. My voice stay with me. I've always been this way since I was a kid. If I get a bad cold, my eyes, especially one of them, will really just water up on me. And just pray it'll stay at bay at least till I get finished. Like I said, it's not as bad as it was yesterday, but it gets real tight and watery. It's almost like I get a cold, and that's how it finds its way out. It tries to. That's why I wore my glasses and not my contacts. As far as reading and seeing, anyway, like I said, I thank the Lord feel a lot better today, able to be here and just pray for us. One quick lesson this morning, what the Lord has laid on our heart. I hear this scripture quoted and heard it preached from several times, and it's always good to remember. It's always an encouragement scripture. You know, all scripture, I guess, is encouraging, but this scripture particularly seems like helps in times of trouble. It's good to know in good times, I guess, and what we'd say times when going through trials in our lives as Christians. Anyway, I always like you'll know what it is here when I read it, and you've probably already seen it there or know where it is. But Jeremiah 6:16 said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." They said, "We will not walk therein." And that's really the only verse I wanted to use this morning and kind of just look at it and how to apply it to our lives. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways." And in other words, stand fast. Nowadays you don't hardly find anybody take a stand for anything. We're so wishy-washy, not only just as a people, but as a nation. You just kind of go with the flow, so to speak. People don't want to take a stand anymore. You may think one thing. I know a buddy of mine, sometimes we run together, and we got fields are completely different. We don't see each other for anything else other than that's probably the only thing we've got in common. But at the same time, we'll have conversations as we're running or talking. That's something we talked about later in the week. It's the week, and I think it was Wednesday, Thursday maybe. We talked about how everything's a lot of fluff now, and just for what looks good or sounds good. Nobody has any standards. He's a fellow that I guess works a lot with the public as well, and he said it seems like nobody wants to hold on to anything. And he was mentioning, his comment said, seems like some of the churches tend to now more lean to what's favorable, or what's the end thing, they look more at where the money's coming from versus what the Word of God would say or what the gospel says. In other words, they want to be sure to keep their numbers up at church. And I said, "You're right." As we were talking there, nobody takes that stand anymore. And I thought of this verse, as I said, "The Lord, stand ye in the ways and see." So I took a chance, and I looked at some of these words, and I thought, what's the Lord trying to tell us here? I've never really tried to break it down and try to do the best I could, and of course, the Lord lead me, and it's been a help to me. He says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." And I said, "Well, what's a path?" Of course, we all know what a path is. We took those a lot as, I know, kids, we'd have paths in the woods. I make the comment a lot sometimes. Luis, he'll talk about wanting to go hunting something. I say, "Well, we've really never been." He said, "Didn't you hunt as a child or a kid and growing up?" And I'd say, "Yes, I did." And I guess I just said child. He didn't say child. He said, "When you were young." I said, "Yes, because in my mind, we started to hunt when we were 7 or 8 years old." And might have been the wrong thing to do, but we were by ourselves at that age. And my brother and I, we'd find a path and walk into the woods and we'd hunt, And I remember I'd ride a little dirt bike, and my brother would ride on the back, and he'd have a gun in each hand. And we'd ride down the main highway. You couldn't do that today. I can just see Luis and Jesse going down the road, and Jesse holding a gun in each hand. They'd get about a mile, and the cops pull them over. So times are different, and paths sometimes change. And that goes back to what me and that fellow was talking about. Generations are different. You'd like to think that as far as a generation in a church, or as the church's, rolls over. And what I mean by that is older members pass on, younger ones come along. That's one place it wouldn't change. But paths do change. Directions change. Directions and paths of this country and nation has changed. We've talked about that before. If you're at Eastman, I'm sure their path or direction for the corporation has changed. Same way for the hospitals. Who'd ever thought that those two in this area would be merging or coming together? They were always seemed like at odds against each other. But paths do change. And you have to keep that in mind. And so that's what paths means. It means like a highway or a thoroughfare. It's how you get somewhere. It's the direction you take. Thing is about paths, and you ask here, and it says, and ask for the old paths, and where is the good way? There's always an intersection. And as I was thinking about that, the paths we took, and we used to hunt, and we hunted a place called Cable Vision or Cable Towers. And what they did, that's where we didn't have cable, but I guess we imagined if we did, that's where it'd be. There's a big tower up there, and it was more for, radio signal than anything else. But there was a little path that went up to it, and on the top it would go different directions. We'd have to choose which way to go. One went more down into a hollow, you'd say, and the other one went on out toward these open fields and back in deeper woods, and that's where we'd go. And so you think about our lives and think about when we ask for the paths. It said, see and ask for the old paths, and where is the good way? In our life, we're going to have intersections. We're going to have places that we're going to have to make a decision on what to do. And we pray a lot for our youth, I know, and pray for their might use sound judgment, but we need that as well. It's very easy for us to get off track. Remember, that's how we started this morning, talking about how times have changed just since the last 20 years. And how it's a lot easier to go with the flow, so to speak. And so I started looking at that, and I backed up. And I said, okay, where is the good way? And I thought about that's where the intersections would be. But if you go back and say, in the ways, and see means, in this particular verse, if you go back and study it out, and if I remember it correctly, means how to advise self. How to remain disciplined. How to consider. In other words, how to discern what's right. So that word see right there said stand in the ways. In other words, stand in the ways. In other words, stand in what you believe in. Stand on the scripture and see. So don't get in a hurry. Discern. Take time to make sound judgment. You know, I've told you before, we heard Pastor say this, and that's why I've mentioned before. I don't know how long ago it's been. It's been a few months. He made the comment on common sense, if I remember it, experience, and then sound wisdom. And that stuck with me. And here's a place where I think the Lord's saying, stand on the Word of God. Advise yourself, but consider the consequences. Take time to discern which direction to go. So we're in an intersection in life, or you got to make a decision on what to do, use some discernment. I know I was talking to Brother John Dockery out there in the vestibule coming in, and I remember yesterday they was going out to visit, and some names came up. And they said, well, maybe we need to go visit this and this, and we haven't seen them in a while or haven't heard from them, and they was having a hard time. He was working out of town, whatever it was. And so I ran into Brother John on the way out, and he said, boy, the Lord had that just right on where we needed to go. He said, we got there, and it went this way, and he told me about it. And he said, went over this other place, boy, and they was right there, right on the way. And he said, they were almost like they were looking for us. He said, there's no way we would have known that, but the Lord just put us right there. And before we got in there, they wasn't on anybody's mind. It didn't come up until they got back there. And so I say that to say they stood on God's plan. They stood on what God had them to do, or on God's word, and said, Lord, where would you have me to go today? And so they were at an intersection, so to speak, not literally driving, but spiritually saying, where would you have me to go? So they had waited for God's advice or to advise them. They knew enough to wait and say, okay, where would the Lord have us to go? They used discernment and just sound judgment and said, this is where the Lord would have us go. And as you stop and you read that and say, see and ask, when I said see, that means to advise self or to consider what I do, or discern. You look at the word ask, and that means to inquire. And that's what they did. Lord, where would you have us go? Who would you have us see? But they didn't just rush out the door. They stopped. These people come to their mind. They prayed about it. This is where you'd have us to go. They inquired of God, and that's where they went. And they were waiting on them. I think he told me that there was one couple they was waiting to see sitting on the porch. Like they didn't even have to go to the door, pulled up, and there they were. Hey, like they, about time y'all get here. Where you been? See, you think about that. That's a blessing. That's right here, as he says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for discernment. Seek out. Discern. Inquire. And it says, ask, inquire. You know, you think about this, and that just come to mind. Sinners under conviction. They'll be here today. Undoubtedly, there'll be some here. They're trying to advise their self. You think about it. Remember when you were lost, you were trying to advise yourself on what to do. You said, how do I get rid of this feeling? How do I get saved? Or, boy, you know, every time that preacher preaches, he's preaching right to me. They're trying to discern, much as we talked about here in the first of that verse, they're trying to discern on what will help them. Trying to figure it out, so to speak. Themselves. And what you have to come realize, as you know, is that you can't save yourself. You can't figure it out on your own. But see, they're in that intersection. When the message, the gospel message goes out, the Holy Spirit starts working with them, they're in that intersection to say, which direction do I go? What do I do? Which highway do I take? But all they really need to do is inquire and ask and pray. And the Holy Spirit has shown them. Just as I was using that example yesterday as the men went out and visited, but it's the same way with sinners. Same way when we're lost. And as you look here, that's what I think Jeremiah is trying to tell us. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And then you think about the saved too. Us, we work every day and get out and go to our jobs. We're the same way. Sometimes we get out into the world and get away from God, or we get busy during the day. I know Mr. Grizzle and I say all the time, and it may not affect you guys, but and he may be telling me that because I'm telling him. It just make me feel better. I don't know, but I tell him a lot of times I get up, seem like I get started good and get right out of the house. About the time I turn out into the road, I've already got something going on in my mind. In other words, I begin to get so caught up in the fast pace of the day that I begin to rely on more on myself again when I come to those decisions that need to be made. And I'm not talking about decisions as far as if I turn literally in the car right or left, but decisions that come up during the day in interaction with other people. Do I seek God's advice or do I rely on myself? Do I seek for spiritual discernment or worldly discernment? You know, I've often heard said, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard this comment. I've heard Preacher Jack even make the comment, and I've heard others preach on it. And Billy Mitchell, I think, even made the, I don't know that for sure with him, but I've heard it several times. That even Solomon, and you know how much I like to read after Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and we look over there a lot for guidance and wisdom. Remember, we've mentioned before, Proverbs was more for daily living. That's when he was younger, and he wrote to his children, and wrote to the nation of Israel. Ecclesiastes, he was an older man. And you go back and look at that, and it's almost like that he lacked spiritual discernment until he got a lot older. He had a lot of worldly wisdom, and God had blessed him at, and he made good decisions. But some would say, and you've heard that made a comment before, that his worldly discernment probably outweighed his spiritual discernment till later in life. And man, like I said, I don't know that to be true, but you go read Ecclesiastes, and that's almost like you're sitting down with an elder in the church or an older person in the church. You know, some of our older ladies, older men, they've been around a while, they've lived a while, they've got good advice to offer. In other words, when you come to those intersections in life, they've got good advice. When the church has those intersections and directions to go, and what does the church do in this situation or that situation, or how do we handle this or that? You want those men and women that's had some experience to speak up. And I think that, again, that's what Jeremiah is saying here. He said, and ask for the old paths. You know, sometimes we get told today that, and I know I do, my kids think that I'm that way. That's the old-timey way is what they say. That's the old way. Sometimes the the students in class. I'll try to show them something on the overhead, or I'll try to look something up on, you know, I'm trying to think, they'll use everything's on the internet there, you know, on campus, and all the handouts and all the slides and all that. And anyway, I'll try to show them something, and I'll get all tied up and get things, and I'll have to have one of the students come up and fix it for me. They'll say, "What do you want?" I'll say this or that, and they'll just punch one or two things. And they'll laugh, and they'll say, "You're still living back in the flip phone days," is what they tell me. And I'll say, "No, I'm further back than that." I said, "I'm still there when the phone was tied to the wall." And I've got one in my office just for fun. I bought a big red phone at a yard sale for $1.50, and it's still got the rotary dial. And they don't know any better. I tell them that's a direct line to the dean. If they give me any trouble, I'll call him up. And but that's the old paths. That's the old way. That's what they call it. But sometimes those ways are the best. And when it comes down to the Scripture, and it comes down to our lives as Christians, there is no other way. And it may be called the old way, but sometimes that is the best way. Let me continue on. I'm spending a lot of time with that. But it said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see." And we mentioned see means to consider, discern. Which direction do I take? And ask means to inquire of the Lord. Find out what's the best for the old paths and where is the good way. Because even as when we're lost or even when we're saved, sometimes those intersections of life, they can be not only confusing, but they can be troublesome in which direction you take. Is it, where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. In other words, you inquire, and you go where God leads you, and where God would have you to go. And it's sometimes takes a little bit of effort, but you got rest for your souls. In other words, you have that peace. I think it was just three or four Sundays ago, Pastor Rick was talking about that peace passes all understanding. And that's what that rest there refers to. It says rest for your souls, but they said we will not walk therein. In other words, here when he's talking to Israel, they said we don't want that. We don't want to go that direction. And you know, I think that's what we see a lot of today. You try to be a witness to somebody, testimony. I know Pastor was telling us yesterday that he could remember two times in his life, and at his age, somebody knocked on the door with the truth. And what he meant was visiting from a local church or something, that they knocked on the door with the truth. I remember growing up, and I think Kim and I, we were dating and trying to look for a church to go to, and I think down in Memphis, and of course a lot of churches down there, even we went a couple times to that guy's church that the pastor listens to sometime. I can't remember his name now, but he was way far out, long way to drive. And, of course, time we met and then got out there and drove and then drove back. And, you know, it was pretty good drive, so we tried to find something closer to Midtown. It was closer into town, closer for both of us to get there. And rather than meet and have him drive outside of town, here I can't even remember his name now, but anyway, and I remember the churches we went to, there might have been one that somebody come by and visited. And they'd come by to see us. They maybe come to my apartment, or I lived on the dorm at the time, so they'd go by and see Kim and her roommate or something, because that's probably closer for them to get to, a little harder for them to get on campus. But he made that comment yesterday, and I thought about that. And I still remember that, that they come by, just say, "Hey, thanks for visiting with us. We do anything for you. Come back and visit. How'd you like the service?" And that was it. You'd see them where we might have went three or four other churches in different times and never hear anything from them. At least they showed that they loved us, cared for us, and appreciated it. And so sometimes if we look and say, "Where is the good way? Walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. You'll find peace." Let me read you a couple other places that go along with this in the New Testament, and we'll be done. And it pertains more to us as Christians. And this morning, I want to read you something over in Hebrews, which is very familiar to you as well. As we begin to walk these paths, we start moving. I told you about my brother and I, and he'd ride on the back of me, and he'd hold those guns as we drove down the road. I don't know how he stayed on the back of the motorcycle, because he didn't hold on to me. There weren't any foot pegs. He just let his legs drag. And I guess that's why he's got trouble with his feet now. They turned up like that, and I just drug him down the road. You know how older brothers are. I really didn't care, I guess, and just told him don't fall off. And he didn't. He had pretty good balance. But as he was riding, he had to balance himself. He had to consider where he was at, you know, on the back, and said, I got to hold these guns. I got to stay on. We got so many miles to go. In other words, he knew we had a trip before us before we got there. And that made me think here, said, as I find this, and I thought I would, I said I'd turn over here to it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here's what I was looking for. It came to mind. I thought about Chad. Let us lay aside every weight. In other words, he couldn't carry a lot of stuff with him. He just had his job he had to do as we rode out. Let us lay aside every weight, which that's what we should do as Christians. And I know we've heard that preached from, taught from a lot. But we need to remember this. And sometimes I forget that. You know, it goes back to the reference. And when I've told Mr. Griswold, I said, I pull out of the driveway sometimes. And it seems like I get burdened down even more. Not with things that I should let burden me down, but with things I won't lay aside. That I let keep me tied up. In other words, how am I going to stay on the old paths? How am I going to seek discernment from God? How am I going to see which way is the right way to go if I don't lay some of these other things aside? Some of these things that really don't matter. Some of these things that in 100 years won't matter anyhow. But yet I let those tie me up. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, while we're on this path, we need to make sure that we run it for the right reason. And we lay aside some of these things that we let keep us tied up. And you know, what weight may slow you down may not bother me. And what weight that bothers me may not bother you. And we need to remember that as we pray for one another. Because it's easy for us to look at someone else and say, well, I wonder why. What's their problem? They got so-and-so going on. Well, I wouldn't let that bother me. But see, we're all different. And it was a message we heard here one time, and I can't remember who preached it. And I'm thinking and racking my brain to figure, but you guys remember there was someone came and they preached a message. They was a visiting pastor and a visiting preacher. And what they preached was on the sins that beset individuals or each one of us. And how each one of us, Satan, has had 2,000 years to figure mankind out. And well, longer. And he's had that much time to figure out maybe what affects you, what affects me, what affects the next one. And that's what he goes for. One thing may bother you, not bother me. And we got to remember that because it's easy for us. And you don't want it. My mother used to use the phrase, look down your nose at someone else. Sometimes it's easy, even as Christians, for us to do that and get caught up in that. We don't need to do that. We need to pray for one another. You don't have any idea what somebody else may be going through. You know, that really works, I think, two ways. I remember, I'll use another story here from Preacher Jack. Remember, he said that he'd signed that note for that guy that time, and he never did pay it, and Preacher Jack ended up having to pay it. And he said every time he saw him, he wanted to whip him. And he said, said, just get out of this mail truck and go whip him. And he said, the Lord tell him, Holy Spirit said, you better stay in this truck and not get out and keep moving. And I remember he said what he learned from that was the Lord said, don't worry about that. I'll handle it in ways that you will never even know about. And so I think about that the other way too. Sometimes people are going through things, loss of a loved one, sick one at home, themselves been diagnosed. You never know. And they might be handling it in a different way than what you would. But you never know how God's playing in that role. And you can't see inside someone else. So that's another reason we need to pray for one another. Just a few more places here and I'll be done. I'm going to look over in James, if you'll just stay with me there, and we'll be finished this morning. I appreciate your patience. I know it's not it's more of, I guess, of a lesson this morning just to remind us a few things, try to encourage us each and every day. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So not only when we're on these paths do we need to lay aside every weight that easily beset us, we need to look forward and we need to inquire of God and what He'd have us to do and seek direction from Him and be sure and try to stay on the old paths and try to be on those and ask God for direction. But we also need to be, there's no way we're going to know that if we're not doers of the word. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And what I think about that, that's as soon as service is over and preaching's done, you walk right out the door. And of course, most of us are backed in anyway. That way we can get out quick and we just forget anything that we heard preached or taught. And I'm talking about the loss there as well. Maybe you caught up in too many things. You're overcharged, so to speak. You didn't take time to pray. Maybe not studied in time. Said, and forgetteth what manner of man he was, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And then, remember, we've talked before, I think, but whoso looketh, remember we talked about that means to bend down. That means to gaze deeply. That means to look into. I think, remember, I always use this, I've mentioned this more than once here because I think of my grandmother's well. We'd always try to throw rocks and stuff in it, and we'd bend over in there, and she'd come out yelling at us, and, don't be filling up that well. But I remember we'd bend over and look down in that well. We'd peer into it. You know, we'd try to look just intensely, try to see the water. We could hear it when the rocks hit, but we just couldn't see. We knew it was deep. And that's what it's saying here, too, but that'd be the law of grace that you'd be peering in. That means after you're saved, look deeply into it. In other words, it's not something that's just a fleeting moment. And that's why I think before that it uses the example of you look at yourself in a mirror and you walk away. And then you forget, you know, you go back, oh, is that right? Did I have that hair fixed? Or have my glasses? Or sometimes we got other things on our mind in the service, and as soon as it's over, we go right out the door and we forget even what we've heard. Here, I'll be wrapping up here. That's my little alarm. So he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. In other words, it's just a ritual. We came just for a formality, just because it's Sunday morning, that's what we do. Sunday evening, that's what we do. You tend to have to bind back or pull back on the things of this world. Keep it separate. Separate ourselves. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In other words, we think sometimes of street smarts, so to speak, personal contact. And as we read over there in Jeremiah, and I think that's what he was saying, when you ask or you inquire which direction to go, intersection you're at, that's what I refer to as what we hear a lot of times is street smarts. When I go back to my days in Baltimore and around D.C., they'd give me tips. If somebody'd stop and ask you what time it is, don't stop, keep going. Because if they get you stopped, a lot of times that's when somebody behind you get your wallet or something like that. So they gave me good street advice, street smarts. And so if you need to ask directions, so make sure there's an officer around or you're on the bus or something like that, then ask. So you think about that too. Need to use some, if we still use the term street smarts, that's what we need to use as Christians. Look into the Scripture. Which way would the Lord have us to go? What would he have us to do? Remember, we've mentioned before, if you have to inquire too much on whether it's right or wrong, then you probably need to stay away from it. Because that might be the Holy Spirit working on you there. Even though the flesh, us as individuals, that might be something we really want to do and think that's the thing we need to do, the Lord may be saying, no, that's not what you need to do. And sometimes it's hard for us to hear that. One last place, and I'll be done. And that goes right back to what we say here about binding back or a form of ritual. Direction for us to take, and I'll be finished. Just a little place here in 2 Corinthians. And this talking about ourselves in the world, and as we're looking for the path God would have us to take, or as we inquire and keep ourselves unspotted from the world, even though we still have close personal contact with the world, it gives us some good advice here in Corinthians. Let me see. I said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? These are questions. And what concord, or what he's saying here, is what accord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And to wrap that up, as we began over in Jeremiah, as we looked at paths and our highways, think about thoroughfares of life, intersections that we have, take time to ask, inquire, take time to advise one another, pray for one another, maybe discern what is right, which direction the Lord have us go. I think, again, that was a perfect example yesterday morning where these people were laid on men's hearts. They, of course, prayed about it and inquired, and they got there. And in both cases, separate cases, it's like they were waiting on them. Brother John was telling me that other house, of course, I told you they were on the front porch. And the other ones, he said, they opened the door. Oh, come on in. Yeah, come on in. Sit down. And he said he was telling him, so, well, we can't stay long. No. Here's the chair. And had never been that way. Never been that way. And I just wanted, they inquired, they looked, they asked, sought direction. And as Christians, that's what we need to do. And keep ourselves, I guess, unspotted from the world, but we live in the world as well. And pray for one another. Thank you for your attention this morning.